Ezekiel chapter 36. Got a Bible, hold it up, say, here it is.
Here it is.
It's on your phone. Oh, see, look at that. Jimmy's got it all shiny. William, Scott, yeah. Who's got a phone on there? Juan, hold up your electronic Bible. Yeah, look at that. Look around. We'd have a concert, you know, everybody holding up. Yeah. All right, here we go. I'm going to slide this down just a touch. There we go. Ezekiel 36, verses 24 to 27. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Lord, I thank you that you are among us this morning, that you are closer than a brother, that you guide us, Lord, into all truth, that you don't leave us alone, that you'll never leave us or forsake us, that you put your arms around us. Help us to follow, Lord. Help us to learn to follow your lead, that you might be glorified in our midst. Lord, I pray a binding on every distraction this morning, Lord. And I thank you. Two or three are gathered, you're right here among us. Give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Well, it was a couple of weeks ago. I was back there on the soundboard. Danny was off on a camping trip. And Ed Canolt was, Ed and Gail are heading to Mount Rushmore. I've heard it's good, but they're for 100 miles, there's nothing around it. So just kind of like, that's good. And then travel. But Ed was up here doing his thing, and I was back on the soundboard, and I was trying to catch all the stuff that he was doing. I wasn't able to catch it, and so we started talking about something new, and hooked him up with a new pedal board. This is a Line 6 M13, I know you're impressed, pedal board that, in fact, Joe used to use, and it's got reverb, and it's got delay, and it's got distortion, and it's got loop, and it's got a loop back pedal, and it's got all this stuff. And I had no clue how any of it worked. And there's all of them buttons on there, and I showed it to Ed, and, you know, I had to print out the manual. Had to print out the directions. And I'm reading that manual, and it's showing me how to work this thing, and I'm trying to figure out how to follow the directions. Have you been there? You know what I'm talking about. Well, that's what we're talking about in our series called Finding Fullness in Christ. Because we got to lead, but sometimes we just got to learn how to follow. Can I get a witness on that? Come in this morning, we're talking about the fullness of Christ. I got a question for you. How full are you? You might be feeling pretty good. You might drag yourself in here this morning and just, oh, I'm starving. Well, our purpose at City Heights Assembly is to fill you up, that you might be filled with the fullness of Christ. And we do that in three specific areas. Number one, find your fullness in your relationship with God. Second area, finding fullness in your relationship with those around you. And I want to let you know that the fuller you get with God, the better the relationships you're going to have with those people that are around you. Because until you get filled up with God, you're just trying to drain those people around you, trying to fill me up. Talk about that today. And fullness on how God, and the full expression of how God has made you, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made, gifted to glorify Him. And as you move through the days of your week, the choices that you make, if you are living to glorify Him, you indeed are moving in His fullness. Now, there are various ways. I started clicking that thing backwards, didn't I? Yeah, I mean, didn't even notice it. Four areas, four different principles that we have that you can find fullness. And this series so far has been on principle number one, depending on God. Move through the week, depending on God. It's a shift. Shift from the world. We develop people. We want you to get better, like Richard. My old sound, man. Yeah. Anyway, we're praying. We're praying hard, Richard. We display God's love. And I just want to let you know, Richard, there's a lot of love back there on that soundboard. Praying. No, just rolling with it. Okay, well, I'm going to get off that. We desire the presence of God, but Richard, that presence of God right back. No. All right, we're done. Every time you come in this place, that you would come into the manifest presence of God. And that when you leave, you would know what it feels like and you can experience that day in, day out. Step into the presence of God, being sprinkled, being cleansed. Now, been focusing on depending on God and talking about filling up. We talked a couple weeks ago about getting in the Word. It will fill you up, and you need to get a little bit daily. You know, we've been putting out those daily reading logs, and, I got to talk to Sally after church, but, I do this video every day, and I post it up on Facebook. I went the other day, and there's like, no postings for 3 days. And so I'm sorry if you went look, because they were done. And then on Friday, I'm trying to post. You know, it's like posting. When's it going to be done? And even then, I tried posting Friday twice and never got up there. Saturday was up there. So I'm sorry. I'm going to work. I guess I'm just going to have to check and make sure it's up there. Wow, what a concept. But maybe you saw he's got some information for me. I don't know. Maybe I'll be able to do that. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to fill you up. And so we talked about the Word. Last week we started talking about relying and being led by the Spirit of God. And often, if He's going to fill us, if He's going to ensure that we get filled, it's going to take a redirection in our lives. If you're empty, you need to do something different to get full. Amen. Now, first thing he's going to let us know is that we got kingdom stuff all around us. He's going to point us to where we need to go. And he's going to enable us. The Spirit is going to enable us to be able to grab on and make the connection. Now, for some of us, there's some worldly things that we are grabbing onto that we think are filling us up, but they're actually just keeping us empty. Can I get a witness on that? And the Holy Spirit is going to point out those things to us so that we can change direction and find fullness. See, the Holy Spirit is leading. We just need to figure out how to follow. The title of the message today is Led by the Spirit. Are you glad you came? That's two of us. Lunch for you, man. All right, here we go. We're going to go to Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. And this is the disciples are locked in a room hiding from the Jews on the day of the resurrection. They are afraid of the Jews because they done crucified Christ. And they think that they may be coming after them. And so Jesus comes among them and he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." First thing we're going to see today is that life in the Spirit is different. Anybody found that to be true? Two lunches for you today. You know what? I think it's just me and you, Sandra. I just preach right here. Yeah. Why? Holy Spirit comes to do us a favor. Because we are born spiritually dead. God spoke to Adam, said, "On the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." Remember that part? That's the book of Genesis. Amen? Now, God builds us, makes us, creates us in his image with three parts to us, body, soul, and spirit. Now, when Adam ate that fruit, he died spiritually. And he passes that on to each one of us so that we are born with a black hole in the midst of us. And because we are empty because of that death, we grab on to anything around us that we can find to fill us up. George, glad you've joined the message today. Hallelujah. So what happens is we got this blackness in us, and we're surrounded by all this opportunity to fill us up. And we start running around, chasing around. Not all of it is bad, but mostly it's bad because why? Because the devil is out there, and he is the prince of the air. He is the ruler of this world. And so as we are starving and going and trying to garner anything we can to fill us up, we just get more and more empty. Now we come to Jesus. And Jesus breathes on us and breathes the Holy Spirit into us. And all of a sudden, we find new life in Christ. Amen? Jesus says, instead of a black hole inside you, you have springs of living water. John chapter 7. That instead of being a drain on all those relationships around us, now we have a supply. And we can bring into relationships rather than just want to take from relationships. Want to talk to anybody out there? We still have our old habits that we used to use to fill us up, but Jesus tells us, Bible tells us that greater is he that is in us. I'm not that far yet. Oh, yeah. Where am I? Let's just go. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Those who live according to the flesh. I know where I was at. Holy Spirit will guide you out of death. You got to follow. Joshua said, hey, I present before you life and death. And if that was not plain enough, he says, now choose life. Why? Because we need a guide. Holy Spirit guiding us. Let's talk about the options that we've got. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. That's also different translations have the sinful nature instead of flesh. Those who live according to the sinful nature. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. A mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And what the Holy Spirit does when he comes into your life, he gives you new options. We have only one option when we are born, to live according to the flesh, because we have no strength. We are dead inside. We live according to the flesh, and that is the body and all those outside influences that are beating down on us. Anybody relate? I can relate. I lived 29 years like that. Jesus makes us alive, breathes on us, gives us the Holy Spirit, and now we have a spiritual strength to resist all that influence from our flesh, from the devil, because Paul says that our battle is not just against flesh and blood. And all that stuff that's hanging around, but our battle is against spiritual forces of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6. And so when Jesus breathes on us and we receive the Holy Spirit, now we have power, spiritual power, to press back on that attack that's coming. Thank you, Tommy. You know where that battle happens? Right in your soul. Because your spirit is pushing out in your body and everything else is pushing in. And in your soul, you're going, what's going on? Holy Spirit, guide you right into that battle. Got to learn to follow. Amen? Got to learn how to win. Got to learn how to make new choices. Now, some of you, tonight, when you are headed to the taquero, he's reading his Bible over there on his phone right now, I'm sure, out to the beach potluck, driving down 8, going through Mission Valley, you go, you say, what is that? Oh, oh, oh. What is that smell? And you're going to say, taquero, taquero. I need me some In-N-Out burger. And you're going to turn in, and invariably there will be a line of other people just like you who don't know how to manage the desires of the flesh. And you'll get in that line, and you're going to say, fill me up. The Holy Ghost saying, you need to be out there at the Mission Bay. Now water bloom more. Got to learn how to follow. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Life in the Spirit affords opportunity. Go back to the Old Testament, 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17. Prophet Elisha fighting the king of Aram with a servant of the man of God, and that's Elisha, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots that surrounded the city. That's not good news when that army of horses and chariots is looking for you. Can I get a witness? Well, he's oh no, he says. What shall we do? Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. We are surrounded by spiritual resources. Indeed, at this time, Aram, that brown country up there on the upper right, is attacking Israel, the purple country in the middle. And the king of Aram is trying to kill the king of Israel. And the Lord, God, is letting Elisha in on Aram's plans. And he's telling the king of Israel. And the king of Aram's going, who's the traitor? Who's letting him in on? And they say, it's not a traitor. It's Elisha. The prophet Elijah is telling the king what's going on. He said, well, I got enough of this. We're going to go get Elisha. And so they surround him. And the servant wakes up and says, oh, Elisha, we're in bad shape. But Elisha is not concerned. He prays, open his eyes, Lord. Let him see what is going on. And his eyes are open, and he sees the hills filled with the army of the Lord. See, the army was there, but the servant was not able to see them. Elisha has no problem. He is spiritually aware because he's been following the lead of the Holy Spirit for years. And as the Holy Spirit comes into us, there are resources that are around us. And as we become familiar with him, we can have that peace and we can have that comfort when we move into challenge. Can I get a witness on that? Bible says, whatever you ask in my name, you have it. This I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask, resources, spiritual resources available to us, Holy Spirit, guide us into them, but we have to learn how to follow that lead. Can I get a witness on that? There's stuff around you that you are missing out on. And the Holy Spirit says, it's right there. What are you starving for? Part of the work of the Spirit is to fill you up. There's a plate right here. All right, let's keep going. Acts chapter 16. Apostle Paul and his companions travel throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Now I'm going to give you a map. A bunch of names coming up. Watch out. Don't get off track. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. You say, wait a minute. Why does the Holy Spirit want Paul not to preach? Well, we're going to take a look at that. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to preach there either. So they passed by Mysia, went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, please, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach to them. Now, the Holy Spirit will come into your life, guide you into truth, and guide you into more. This chunk of scripture right here is from the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. There was three missionary journeys covering a span of about 10 years from 47 to 57 AD, if you care about dates. Now, the first missionary journey, he leaves from Antioch, goes through Cyprus, goes up into what is modern, that's modern-day Turkey up there, and kind of just does this little loop. He does it, gets as far as Derbe, he goes through Perga, Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. This is like Acts 13, 14, and then he does a U-turn and comes back. Now, what we're talking about here is his second missionary journey, which he starts down in Jerusalem, goes up into Tarsus, where he's from, goes overland to Lystra, and then, sorry guys, just kind of picture me making the moves over there, but this is Asia, right up here, and this is Ephesus right here. Ephesus, man, he does work for years, and Ephesus, a huge, massive church. He's going, I'm going to Asia, and the Holy Spirit says, no, not Asia. And he says, okay, I'll take a right-hand turn and go up there. That purple area is Bithynia. No, not Bithynia. Troas is right here. Goes all the way to Troas and gets a vision and says, come to Macedonia. First steps of the gospel into Europe. Now, we are not told how the Lord conveys to Paul not to go into Asia and not to go into Bithynia. Perhaps an uneasiness in his spirit, but it was a way that Paul would be able to discern the will of God because Paul had experience following the lead of the Spirit. Okay? God's going to speak to you. You might not catch it the first time. You might get it wrong the first time. But what happens is the Lord's speaking to you and say, Lord, I hear you doing this. And he'll say, no, that ain't me. And then you'll get down the road and it'll be all messed up. You say, Lord, you told me to come here. I said, no, that wasn't me. Remember that? And you go, oh, yeah. And you'll realize, oh, that's the Lord's voice. And then you'll say, Lord, I'm hearing you go. Tell me to go this way. He says, right, I'm telling you. And you get down the road and it works. He goes, yeah, Lord, thank you. And he goes, yeah. And you learn his voice. Paul had that. Now, He gets a vision at night to go to Macedonia. And as he makes that loop into Macedonia, he stops at Thessalonica, at Philippi, at Corinth, and ends up back over there in Ephesus to start that big giant church. And so that second missionary journey does all kinds of incredible stuff and introduces the gospel to Europe. He gives them a vision. Acts chapter 9, Ananias gets a vision. Acts chapter 10, Peter gets a vision. And what happens is the Spirit is guiding us, guiding them, and guiding us into the works of God. And we can get there if we learn how to follow. Because that's the challenge. You're not going to learn how to follow if your feet are stationary. We okay? See, it's all yawn. I want to make sure it was just tiredness, not me. You know, I have talked to you guys about the burden that the Lord laid upon my heart about the hot dog, about the skateboard park. And it was 2 years ago, and Joe said, "Dad, he went over there. This is a dark place. I couldn't get off my. There's a weight. What is this, Lord? Skateboard park." Couldn't get it off my heart. Dana and I and Wendy went out there 2 years ago for a whole year. And then the city built a brand new skateboard park closer to us, right behind the old Copley Y, three times as big. And for us to reach out to the new park, we're going to need some different kind of rig, because we were just going out there with that black ice chest with hot food in it. And so the Lord made opportunity for me to get that hot dog cart. Normally sell for like $2,000-$3,000 for $600 up in Riverside. And thank you, Mr. Taquero, for using your Suburban to go pick that up for me. And but seeing the configuration of the new skateboard park, it wouldn't work. And that thing was sitting in my grass for a year. Not blessing my wife. You know, what's going on with that hot dog cart? But we couldn't do what it needed to do the way it sat there. And about a year ago, this guy was selling an electric cart on Craigslist. And it was exactly what I wanted. But the time was wrong, $750. So I call him. Yeah, I got no place to put it. Passed by. Called him 6 months ago. You still got that cart? Still got it? Still want to sell it? Still want to sell it. We're working through the city, the county, and the state to get approval to go to the park. Got that approval and all that kind of stuff. Got to reconfigure it so that we can get down there because it's 150 yards off the street, all this stuff. And so working on it, thinking about it, letting the back of my brain work on that. Holy Spirit not letting me go. And I called that guy last Tuesday and said, I want to come get that cart. And yesterday, Mike and JJ took the wheels off that thing, took the front off that thing. It is sitting on this cart now. I mean, you just push a little lever, and it just scoots right along. And you don't always see how to get where the Holy Spirit is pointing you. But and that's what that thing looked like, and that's what it looks like now. But when He gives you that vision at the end, all you got to do is take that next step that gets you closer and closer and closer. And you're learning to follow. Amen? I told Dana, we're going out on Tuesday. First day of school tomorrow, be all crazy. We're going out on Tuesday, dry run. Okay, I have to go through a couple configurations of that. We need your prayer. Because that little peewee old school skateboard park was dark. This place, the new skateboard park makes the old skateboard park look like Disneyland. It is really dark. And so Tuesday we can use your prayer, just continue prayer going through the whole thing. Got to finalize all the certifications and all that kind of stuff. Okay? You pray for us? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Last thing I got for you. Bible giving us assistance. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 22. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench. Everybody say quench. I'll get you all lunch. Thank you for that. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. And here Paul gives us three steps that we can become familiar with the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Number one, rejoice always. Now, Paul is leaning toward trials here. Why is that? Because we already rejoice when things are going good. Amen? Yeah. So why would we rejoice in trials? Because it is in our trials that we are able to become spiritually mature and to develop that spiritual strength, that we can learn to grab on to the things of the kingdom, learn how to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Rejoice always. Second thing, pray without ceasing. You pray without ceasing, you become familiar with the presence of God. You become familiar with the guides and direction of the Lord. We have prayer every day right here at 9 o'clock. And it gets posted better than I post. I don't know how they do it all the time, but it's better than my posting. And you can hook up with that prayer anytime during the day. And you become familiar with His presence and His voice and His direction. Holy Spirit, speak to you through prophecies. Now, when I was a new Christian, I struggled with prophecies. Now, how can I know that's real? Well, He says, do some work. Everybody say work. You know, Jesus hung on a cross. Anybody want to hang on a cross? We're supposed to pick up a cross daily. God says, do some work. Check it out. Check out the prophecy. How are you going? How am I going to check it out? Well, I'll tell you what, if you're in the Word, you become familiar. Hey, not in the Word. I got a reading log back there. You can get in the Word. Read through that reading log. You will have read through the New Testament twice, the Old Testament once. And I'll tell you what, some wacko prophecy comes your way, because guess what? There are wacko prophecies. Right? Come your way. You're going to do a little research. You might just be able to spot it right off. That is wacko. And if it's wacko, throw it away. It is as garbage. Get rid of it. But, if it passes the test, grab on. Because that is a message from heaven specifically for you. Holy Spirit guiding you. But you got to learn how to follow. Amen? All right, last thing I got for you today, Acts chapter 4. Verses 23, 26, and then jump it up to 29 and 30. On their release, Peter and John have been arrested by the Jewish leadership, the same ones who crucified Christ. And this is within a couple of months of the resurrection, all right? 40 days to the ascension, so it's right after that. So it's fresh. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Because they were preaching the gospel right in the temple. Boom. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against His anointed one. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants, he's talking about them, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And this is an example from the apostles. And what the Lord would do, and Peter and John were arrested, and they were told by the Sanhedrin, you guys got to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. We just crucified this guy. You got to realize we can't have you doing this. And they released them. They would later flog them. But they released them. They go back, and they say, you know what these guys are telling us to do? They're telling us we can't preach anymore. And they realize that their Jewish leadership is standing in between them and the leading of the Lord to spread that gospel. They quote Psalm 2, saying the nations and the elders conspire, and they're applying this psalm to the Romans and their Jewish leadership. They're saying, God, we can't do that. Holy Spirit guiding them right into that challenge, right into that battle. Their response, Lord, make us bolder for you. These are the guys that were hiding from those Roman leaders, afraid to come out behind locked doors. They're not afraid anymore. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, said, Lord, give us more. We'll preach your word. Say, Lord, lead us and we will follow. Stretch out your hand, heal, perform signs, wonders in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, guide. We get to follow. Question for you this morning is, where is the Holy Spirit leading you? Do you see it? It's often a redirection. Many of you here this morning, at least you come up and play. Maybe you here this morning, you are familiar with the voice of the Lord. You are on track. You are moving. The question is, how fast? You see where you're going. You understand what the Lord has for you. And some of you just skipping right down that road. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Empower me to speak, Lord. Guide and direct me. I'm following. Give me a little extra energy. Pray an anointing upon us. Maybe you see that next step and you kind of, whoa, a little slow. That in and out just kind of. My wife said, only one day a year you go to In-N-Out. Ain't no line. And that is during the Super Bowl. Right, she goes, every Super Bowl, I'm going to In-N-Out. Living in the fullness of Christ, how full are you? Some of you full up in the battle, seeing the challenges that the enemy, throwing off that stuff that you used to get you full, but it's just a lie from the world trying to keep you down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grab on. Keep following. Find somebody that you can speak into their lives, that you can guide and direct and take them by the hand and say, this is the way, man. It's the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what. I just heard some stuff today, man. Opportunities from the Lord that will not work. I mean, there's some constraints on your family time. It won't work. Some of you just got to just test it and toss it. Can I get a witness on that? Test it and toss it. Don't bite off on rotten. What kind of burgers do you get? A double-double. Don't bite off on a rotten double-double.
I get the cheeseburger.
Some people say there ain't no such thing, but the devil come and slide some rotten meat in. Don't bite off on that. Come to your celly. She'll hook you up. What else do I got on? Sometimes where you're at, you are where you're at, but you're struggling to see, Lord, where are you pointing me? We got help around here. You don't got to fight alone. We'll teach you. Teach you how to understand. Some of you come in here this morning dead. Your soul is dead. You got a black hole in your heart. You are starving. Every relationship you've got, you're just going, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. I'm starving. If that's not you, you know somebody that's like that, you need to start praying for them. But you come in here this morning and you say, oh, Lord, I'm so hungry. You're so hungry, you haven't even thought of In-N-Out Burger out of your head since I mentioned it. Say, Lord, I don't want to be like that anymore. Say, Lord, I surrender my poverty to you. I surrender my hunger to you. I surrender my death to you, Lord. Say, Lord, come and fill me up, Lord. Lord, breathe on me that I can be a new creation, Lord. Breathe on me that I have new options. Breathe on me, Lord, that I can quit leeching on everybody around me, Lord. I'm looking for springs of living water, Lord, that you would break forth in my life, in my soul, Lord. That's you this morning, and you are just starving. And so I say this morning, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up, Lord, I'm done. I surrender all. Guide me, and I will follow. Transform me, Lord. I will live to glorify you. Nobody looking around. God is speaking to your heart this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, Lord, here I am. I'm sitting right here in City Heights. Lord, you've been speaking to me all morning, Lord. I want new life in you. I don't want to be starving anymore, Lord. I want to be transformed in my spirit. That's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up, every head bowed, right here. Somebody else say, that's me. Back here in the corner, somebody else would say, that's me. Once I see your hand, you can put it down. Right there, hallelujah. I got a new Bible for you. You're going to fill up. Hallelujah. Somebody else say, that is me this morning. Right here, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's speaking to your heart this morning. And you're trying to convince yourself you're not really that hungry. Do I really want to surrender all? I think I can win. I think I can win. You can't win. Right now, the Holy Spirit's coming on to you right now, and he's saying, you can't win. You need to surrender. You didn't put your hand up before, but right now, the Lord is just on you and saying, this is for you, new life. I'll fill you up. That's you this morning. You didn't put your hand up. I'm just going to slide your hand up. That's me this morning. Anybody else? Right there. That was me. That was me, man, on a Wednesday night 30 years ago. I was going, no. And I said, Lord, here I am. Hallelujah. God is good, amen? God is mighty, amen? Let's all stand. Worship team is coming.